what do the show, the BBC show Sherlock, Virgil's Aeneid, and 50 Shades of Grey all have in common?
High cheekbones?
Yeah. They're all fan fiction.
Fan fiction? What's that, Steve?
I'm glad you asked me. Fan fiction is what you call your stories that people and not the original author write about their characters. So if you're writing about Star Trek characters or if you're writing about Harry Potter hosting a public radio show, that would be fan fiction. And by the way, that was a good story. I liked how you had Hermione as your first guest.
Can you make money from this?
Well, think 50 Shades of Grey.
Well, that's a lot of money.
Right, or I guess Virgil.
That guy was loaded.
He was loaded. There can be some money, though. So, yes. Slate editor Dan Kois, he explained to me this morning that fan fiction, it's a labor of love. There's very little money for it. And most of the people that write it, they do write it out of love.
In the modern era of fan fiction, hardly anyone has ever been able to make any money off it at all, and hardly anyone has tried. I mean, the whole point of it was that you write it and you put it out there and you thrill to the very fact that anyone else would ever read it and comment on it and tell you that they loved it or hated it or whatever. There is a contemporary, a modern drive to monetize it in some way, which is being led by Amazon through their Amazon Worlds program, in which they do, in fact, they license out these certain properties, like Supernatural, for example, and allow writers to not only write this stuff but actually sell them as Kindle singles. And there are a lot of fan fiction writers who are longtime members of this world and this community who love this idea, who love the idea of finally being allowed to make money off these things. But there's others who feel like this basically subverts the entire point of fan fiction, which is that you're doing it for love of these characters. You're doing it for the community that you're part of. You're not doing it because you consider yourself a professional writer. And the very idea of charging money for these things is anathema to what they believe fan fiction is all about.
So who's reading it? How many people are reading fan fiction?
Oh, my God, millions. So the classic example, right, is 50 Shades of Grey, which was born as Twilight fan fiction and then slightly modified with the names of Bella and Edward removed, and has sold, you know, upwards of 30 million copies. So that's the high end. But and then the low end is, you know, right now there's fan fiction. I have not researched this, but I'm willing to bet that there's fan fiction out there in which Boris Badenov and Natasha are married and live in the suburbs and have a happy life, but then one of them has an affair and it all falls apart, Richard Yates style. Probably six people have read that one, but I'm sure it's out there. I mean, that's the joy of it, is that there is no fandom so niche that someone has not thought, I want to write in this world.
What does it mean about literature that so many people are picking up these characters and running with them? It seems modern to me and not like Virgil.
Well, it means that readers feel a certain amount of ownership over the characters and stories that they love. When you really love a story, it inhabits your brain in a way that convinces you, even if you are a totally rational, reasonable person who understands that these people are fictional, they still live in there and they set up roots in your imagination and they grow, and you want to water those plants, right? You want to let them flower. And I think that people really bond with these characters and view them as belonging not to the creators necessarily or even to the world, but to them personally.
Dan Kois is in town today. He's talking about fan fiction at the AWP, the writers' conference that's in Seattle later tonight. Is there a hierarchy of fan fiction? Are you cooler if you write about Harry Potter than if you write about Twilight?
I'm sure there are people in the fan fiction universe who view their own particular beloved story as superior, but I do find that it's a very democratic world in which people really respect fandom more than they necessarily view their particular thing as being superior to everything else. There are definitely people who feel like, well, if you write a non-canon story that includes characters from two different worlds, you are betraying everything that J.K. Rowling ever invented. You know, if you write your Harry Potter story in which Harry fights with the Predator from the Predator movies, that's a corruption of everything that we hold dear. But there are other people who think that if you write boring stories where it's just Harry and Ginny as grown-ups raising their kids, that's a corruption. You might as well just go all out and let your imagination flower.
The coolest thing is when you have the crossovers.
Right.
right? When Superman comes to hang out with Spider-Man,
right.
That's cool.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, you can look at those stories as, for example, the all those great DC Marvel crossovers of the 70s where Superman and Spider-Man hang out. Those are fan fiction. One of my favorite current examples of fan fiction that people don't really think of as fan fiction is Sherlock, the BBC series with Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman, which is fan fiction about these beloved characters created by Arthur Conan Doyle. It is the creators have essentially described it as such. They were huge fans of Sherlock Holmes. They thought, what if he lived in the modern day? And they started making these series. Now it happens that they have, you know, millions of dollars and great actors in the BBC behind them, so their fan fiction gets a much higher gloss than people who are just publishing their Sherlock stories on the internet. But the show has not been shy about even noting its relationship to the fans it itself has created, who now are writing Sherlock fan fiction, in which Martin Freeman's Watson and Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock get it on, as they are never allowed to do on the show.
Yeah, there's a lot of illicit sex in fan fiction, huh?
Sure. Well, there's a whole mode of it called Slash, of course, which is in which people imagine the romantic relationships of characters who are not necessarily romantically involved. Initially, it referred only to gay relationships. For example, the classic one was Spock and Kirk. That was the first great Slash love affair in fan fiction. But now it sort of refers more generally to any non-canonical emotional or sexual relationship that people love to write about, and that's a rich vein of this world.
That's so funny. What are people's biggest misperceptions about fan fiction?
I think that it's a brand new phenomenon, or that it is only related to the internet. You know, you can go back to the zines that people were publishing in the 60s with Star Trek, or you can go back to the Bronte sisters who spent their childhood writing made-up stories about a local dignitary who they all thought was amazing, and they just wrote adventure stories starring him. Or to Virgil, who wrote the Aeneid as Homer fan fiction, essentially. He took a character out of Homer and gave him his own story. I mean, the drive to make stories out of familiar things is not new. In fact, it's basically where the storytelling urge comes from. It's only recently that the idea that characters that a creator creates are owned by that creator has come about. It didn't used to be like that ever. You know, one of my favorite novels of the last 10 years or so was March by Geraldine Brooks, which won the Pulitzer Prize in 2006. It's Little Women fan fiction. It is Louisa May Alcott's story, except she takes the March girl's father and follows him through his world as he's away. I love when writers find a way to explore the little nooks and crannies in their favorite character stories that just weren't there in the original. I really love that.
That's Slate editor Dan Coyce. He's in town tonight for the Writers' Conference. He's at Town Hall tonight at 7:30 talking about fan fiction and the world of Kurt Vonnegut. Lots of other fun, nerdy stuff. He'll also be doing a live edition of the Slate Audio Book Club. That's their podcast. You're listening to The Record with Ross Reynolds. I'm Steve Scherr.